over there. Since January 2013, we've been working at the Potter's Village Child Crisis Centre in Kisoro, Uganda. Uganda is in the southwest, a 15-minute drive from the Rwandan border and a 30-minute drive from the border with Congo. The project has three aspects to it. It would do if I could get it to work. Firstly, we take in newborn babies whose mothers have died in childbirth, abandoned babies, and babies whose mothers are too mentally ill to care for them. If we didn't take them in, they would die of starvation, as the families would be unable to feed them. We resettle them to family members once they're weaned. We also support 50 children in the community. Some of these have been resident children with us, others have mothers but are particularly vulnerable, and we support them until they can cope alone again. Thirdly, we have the medical center with 24-hour access for any child under 12 years of age in the community. We also have a premature baby unit which is becoming well equipped. Mike is the doctor in the medical center and I'm the director of the project. Potter's Village is funded by a charity in the UK, but St. Mary's raises extra funds which we can use at our discretion. This gives us so much more ability to give aid instantly where really needed and not necessarily within the project remit.
Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Those words to Joshua have been very pertinent to us as we have faced the challenges of the past few months. Since January 2013, we have treated 5,377 children as outpatients. 866 children have stayed on the ward as inpatients. You can see from the graphs that the number of patients attending as inpatients and outpatients has been steadily rising. The number of babies in the neonatal unit has also risen and fallen. Since January 2013, we've had 242 babies stay in the unit. Our ability to keep babies alive has vastly improved due to the equipment we've been able to buy, or which has been donated by people here in the UK, and particularly at St. Mary's. As for our resident babies in the crisis centre, we took in 26 babies in 2014, and 34 babies were resettled in the community. The project is taking a change of direction, and this is definitely God-led. So we want to focus on explaining what is happening. By Christmas, not only was the neonatal centre bursting at the seams, but the number of paediatric patients meant a second, then a third ward needed to be opened. All of a sudden, we had to draft in more nurses in order to cope. Many of these patients were suffering from severe malnutrition with pneumonia and other infections associated with such a depleted immune system.
This is by no means a sudden and new problem in Kisoro. Kisoro District has the second worst statistics for malnourished children under the age of five in the whole of Uganda. Amazing when you see how green and fertile the land is. The problem, as the Ugandans say, is ignorance. They do not and will not eat sensibly. Whilst the medical center was flourishing, we were aware that due to resettling our resident children earlier, our numbers would inevitably go down. And the probability would be that in time, we would only need two rooms of resident babies. I didn't want to sack carers if we would need them in the future. We were at the point where we didn't need all the staff during the day, but we needed them at night. I suggested we start an income-generating scheme while we prayed for the way ahead. The staff took this up enthusiastically and gratefully. It was their choice to begin making mats. I have brought some of the mats that they made, and they are in the church hall for sale.
We were facing difficult challenges. Once the children were past the acute phase, they needed feeding up before leaving. We had to devise a strategy to manage these children both with us and back in the community. Plumpy Nut is a product you may have seen advertised as an amazing food for the severely malnourished. It is wonderful as long as they like peanuts. Most of our children won't eat this stuff. In fact, having often lived on simply potatoes, they don't like the taste of anything else. Alex is 4 years old, almost five. He's the height of a two-year-old. His diet has been sweet potatoes and maize. Last autumn, we taught the mother how to make good meals at low cost. She said yes, yes, and went home with a plumper Alex. Less than 3 months later, they were back with Alex in the same state as previously and on the same diet. Initially, Alex had no appetite. That's usual in the final stages before death. We tried tempting him with all sorts, and finally, he would take small amounts of fortified porridge. Everyone got involved in trying to save the life of this child. A major problem was the mother. She kept feeding him sweet potatoes and maize in between meals, so he was never hungry enough to be willing to try nutritious food in significant amounts.
Moving on to the fattening up stage was causing a lot of problems in general. Official guidelines say that a child should increase their admission weight by 20% before being allowed home. Of course, families couldn't afford to stay that long, nor could they afford to buy the extra protein and greens we wanted in the diet. We decided that they could stay for free and we would provide extra food. And then, and how wonderful is this, a girl walked into the office and said she'd just qualified as a nutritionist and moved into Kisoro with her family. You can see how God was ahead of us. She started the next day, and it was wonderful to hand the feeding and its problems over to her. There is another important aspect of the recovery. These children are very lethargic, understandably. Once eating again, they need stimulation and play to encourage appetite and lift their depression. Once down to two rooms of resident children, our extra staff can do that. I have read that if the brain is not adequately stimulated after this phase, then the child can have decreased mental function for life. We can and will do something here. Washable toys for older children would be greatly appreciated. They need to be disinfected daily in order to prevent spread of disease. But we feel we have to do more than all of this. How can we have a permanent impact in the community and work for the prevention of malnutrition and the prevention of extreme poverty?
On site, our staff observe how the mothers cook and what they cook. They are shown how to gauge proportions by handfuls, be it beans or greens. Once the child is discharged, often with food to take away, they are given 2 weeks to try on their own. They return and the child is weighed. If weight gain is adequate, they may be left for a month. If it is not adequate, then the mother is taught again and the social worker or welfare officer visits the home unannounced to see what really is being prepared. We would also like to add in advice on what to grow. Even if it is only around the walls of the house, greens are possible.
All of this is costly to us, but necessary. We would like to ask people to help by sponsoring the recovery of a malnourished child and to educate the mother with good follow-up. £15 would pay for a month of food for a recovering, seriously malnourished child. That's an average length of stay. £5 would pay for a mother's education and follow-up visit. £20 would pay for hanging scales to weigh children in the community. The Potter's Village charity has a child sponsorship scheme for those wanting to follow particular children. The malnutrition sponsorship would be saving a different life each month. Regular sponsorship for whichever cause is an extremely useful way for us to know what our budget can be. With the salary increases needed by all our staff, the wages of our new staff, and the increase in expenditure generated by these malnourished children, the trustees in the UK need to find an extra 300 people pledging a sponsorship of £10 per month. If you feel you would like to help in this way, there are forms on the central table in church.
One way or another, we are being pushed down the road of helping turn this problem around. It fits excellently with the ethos of Potter's Village to help the plight of vulnerable children. But it is a huge problem and it needs money.
But what else is for the future? Our most urgent need is for a Ugandan doctor to help in the medical centre. Mike is working very long hours and can be up with sick children at night and not get time to rest or sleep the following day. It is hard to sustain that pace when young, but nearly impossible when older. We need funds for a starting pay of £300 per month.
Also, the centre has got to the point where it's too busy and too unsafe to be without a doctor for any length of time. We're expecting our first grandchild later this year and would love to meet him or her this Christmas. Without cover, that won't be possible, given how busy it was last Christmas. So please ask any doctors you know if they would like Christmas in the sun or any other time of year. We're still collecting funds for an ultrasound scanner. So far, £6,000 of your money has been set aside for this. £4,000 more is needed. And ideally, I would like to take the machine back after our next visit towards the end of the year. I know a special fundraising event is being planned here for this summer, and I'm very grateful. The scanner would enable us to make proper diagnoses of heart defects. We need to be sure that the long journey to Kampala to see a heart specialist would be worthwhile for the family. It's a big undertaking for them. We would also like to look at the brains of very small children to see what damage there may be. It would also enable us to identify possible bowel obstruction. Twice babies have been referred to a local hospital to be operated on for bowel obstruction. And on both occasions, the hospital said there wasn't a problem and left the child on the ward where they died. If we can prove obstruction by doing a scan, then they have no excuse not to operate. A final use could be antenatal care.
So that's a brief rundown of how things are now and where the project may go in the future. But how has the money raised by St Mary's been of use over the past 6 months? A huge increase in patients meant a big increase of mothers and attendants washing clothes. £40 was spent on running a pipe from a tank and creating a standpipe for them.
£70 was spent on 4 new beds and £80 on new cots. £60 was spent on bedside cupboards to help keep the floor clear.
£50 was spent on plastic chairs. You would find 2 or 3 adults sitting in the cots. It's amazing they haven't broken any so far. £76 built a bathing area beside the medical centre. £24 built extra kitchen space next to the workshop.
£845 was spent on my attending very useful courses in Liverpool and London on my last visit to the UK. For medical registration in Uganda, 50 hours of training has to be undertaken each year, and only 10 hours of that can be done online. £22 was spent on medical books for the medical centre, which are well used. £140 was spent on registering the medical centre in Kampala, something that has to be done annually. £110 was spent on supplies for medical equipment, and I'm taking £150 worth of medical equipment back with me this time.
£25 bought two piglets, which eat the leftover food scraps. We will breed from them in due course and raise money from selling the piglets. Nicholas works full-time in the workshop, and because of that, we have coffee tables for sale, and recently secured an order for £190 worth for large coffee tables for the diocesan guest house. As the workshop is not part of the PV project per se, £200 has been spent on his wages and lunch for the last 5 months.
Doreen, the nutritionist, and Deo, a cashier for the medical centre, helped us out greatly by starting work immediately. We pay them each a token amount of £25 a month until agreement for their wage could be given. That means £50 paid to Doreen and £25 to Deo.
Several loans have been given out. We sent a baby to Kazizi Hospital for an operation. Sadly, the baby died the day after surgery. The hospital would not release the body until fees of £180 were paid. The family could not pay, so we used the project money to release the body, and the family will pay £30 every 3 months when they harvest their crops. The first instalment has been paid, but I don't intend to make them pay at all.
Reverend Florence, who is our chaplain, needed a loan of £125 for a goat house and goat. She will repay this at the end of May. The canteen has repaid £7.50 in rent. The business is about to be given to someone else who we hope will be able to make a profit from it.
We have talked previously of Saba's family and the dire poverty they were in. Thanks to your money, we built a pig house and you bought him two female pigs. You also provided food to help the family. £268 paid for all of that, including meat for the Christmas lunch. I can't tell you how happy they were to have meat. Due to a specific donation from a member of this congregation, the father has rented some land to grow crops. We had to add £35 to the donation to make up the rental and buy seeds and a hoe. The first pig has produced piglets, and the father had hoped to be self-sufficient in 3 months once he had sold the piglets and be well on his way to the first harvest. I had to put the last part of that in the past tense. 2 days ago, I received an email that said Jeffrey had visited and things were not good. The second pig had died before she delivered. The father needed the income from the piglets until harvest. He had no money and the family had no food and they were starving. They also could not feed the remaining pig and it didn't look good. Knowing the father, I know he would not want to tell us. He was so grateful for the help and would be wanting to repay by becoming self-sufficient. He will be feeling bad that he failed us. I had left some of your money with Sonia in the office in case an emergency cropped up while we were away. I have emailed to say they must use that money to get food to the family and to the pig. I was hoping to say that this family had been turned around from hopeless poverty to a hopeful future of self-sufficiency. But this is real life and is going to take a bit longer. The crops are doing well and looking healthy, so that's good. We will need to find out why the pig died and plan again. We last saw the father in February and all was going well. It's horrifying, really, how quickly things can get desperate again. But let's not despair. We will ensure this family pulls through. Saba, who is currently being fostered, will be able to return to his father and siblings in due course. This would never have been possible without your intervention. St. Mary's School in Ely has undertaken to pay the school fees for Saba's siblings, so that is a major improvement for them.
Now that we have wards in two buildings, it's necessary to have a nurse at night in the second building. £50 has been left to get a table and some shelves made for the nurse. Our time would be so much more difficult out there if we didn't have your donated money. It is so good that when an emergency or pressing need arises, we can respond instantly.
Before we finish, let's have one more story from our resident children. Eunice was brought to us in December. Her mother had died suddenly. It was thought to have been poisoning. The father told us Eunice was 6.5 months, but in fact she was 10.5 months. We don't normally take in children of either of those ages, as being weaned, they are best in the community with support, monitoring, and counselling from the social worker. However, the home visit revealed a very unsuitable place for a small child with no female. We agreed to keep Eunice for 6 months while we worked with the family to improve their situation. It then transpired that the mother had been HIV positive and untreated. The father admitted he was also HIV positive. It was important to get Eunice tested and started on treatment. Had the father not brought Eunice to us, and had we not looked into the family circumstances, that little girl's future could have been so different. The father didn't want to take her for testing out of fear of what he would find, but was very relieved that someone else had taken that responsibility.
Potter's Village is a wonderful project that really is saving lives. We hope we will help make a permanent impact on the malnutrition problems of the district. It won't be easy, far from it. It will be very challenging and often very frustrating. But we can say with certainty that this is a God-led future. Whether we want it or not, God has placed the issue of seriously malnourished children on Potter's Village site. We will respond to it out there, and we hope that you will respond to it back here. We need doctors, nurses, and midwives who will give short-term and long-term support. We need all the financial help we can get, but most of all, we need prayer. And we are all in it together. Ugandans struggling out there, ourselves as we face challenges day by day, the supporters here in the UK, we all need to be strong and courageous. We must stay on God's plan, wherever that may take us. But we must not fail to act when action is needed. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much.